It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 11th day of August 2021. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's the home of, among other things, the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between, and the great globe round, and whatever time it is when you're listening on the podcast, except there won't probably won't be anybody in the chat room. Anyway, if you pop by right now, you will be greeted by early arrivers Squeaky and Roger in Oregon and Jeremy in Vermont and Anatole, and capably moderated by, well, me. Hi, I'm Robin, and it is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn, and every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So that means that on this 11th day of the month, we send out thanks to our 11th day of the month subscribers. Yes, and so what that means is thanks very kindly to Paul from Parts Unknown, and thanks to Christopher in Portland. Thank you to Tony in Chico. Thank you to John. Thank you, John, very kindly. And thanks all of you for being partial sponsors of the program. Thank you to Janice. Janice just knocked us down to below four digits for the fundraising goal. That means our fundraising goal for this particular program is $980. Yes. So we've got $55 worth of last week to finish fundraising and fully fund last week's broadcast. And then we've got 930 going forward. Yeah. Let's see here. Watch it, Roger. Roger says, moderator free, we can play without restraint. What am I, chopped liver? Sheesh, you people. Yeah, but, yeah. Oh well. There won't be any more hillbilly jokes after we took care of all that last night. But it is Wednesday. We've reached the middle of the week. We've reached hump day, downhill to Friday. And, of course, Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn, brethren and sistren. You know, we briefly opened up the Cathedral of Common Sense and then shut it right back down, thanks to the mutants at Table 9, you know, the unvaccinated, the bioterrorists, we have a new term. You know, we've used mask hole. We've used COVIDiot, and our pal Reverbo, the human boy, still waiting on his grand future that was promised way back in the days of his human boyhood. That, you know, the future that would include things like helium filled pants. Reverbo informed me today that he had heard a new term for the folks out there who, for a variety of reasons, refuse to get vaccinated. And that term is, wait for it, spreadnecks. Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, I know. The buffering glitches have begun. That's for spreadnecks, not the buffering glitches. But definitely a cowbell for spread necks. Well, that's going into the rotation, right? These things happen. It's kind of like when last week Megan gave us the new name for Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cue Ball, namely Little Miss Three Names, representing three names, right? Yeah. But spread neck is going strong. Internet glitches have started. I have no power over any of this. The internet is what it is. It's kind of like if this was AM radio and you were parked under a power line, there'd be all kinds of static. I mean, we push the packets out there, and then what the internet does to them, does to them. Buffering is bad. You're gone. Well, isn't that fantastic? Yep, I am this time, sure enough. And so, okay, well, we're back. 5 minutes in and went to hell. How about that? Right. Trey in Kentucky, Stan, is in agreement with my assessment. High praise for what Reverbo passed along. Spreadnecks, says Trey. Now that's a classic. And by the way, you know, Billable Rick wants to know, is it spread necks or spread nicks? You're buffering again. Time to feed your router some Advil. I wish there was a slot, but the little breather hole. I don't think Advil would work. Or it's prayer meeting Wednesday. Let me put my hand on the router. Hanan Shabbat. Hanan Shabbat. No, sorry, didn't work. But we'll see. We'll see how this plays out over the course of the evening. It is spread necks, Billable Rick, as in spreading the disease. Rednecks who spread necks. Yes. And like I said, that's gonna get some intense usage. Let's see. Anyway, no, what I was saying is, it's prayer meeting Wednesday. We started out. We reopened the Cathedral of Common Sense after more than a year of socially distant worship, and then shut it right down again because of the Delta variant. And there's a story out there today. And I hope to get to that, and I also hope to, it's kind of a Titanic story, maybe a Moran, but sometimes there's just overlap and it can't be helped. A person trying to explain why they aren't vaccinated. Right after you prayed over the router at Bufford, can you say that prayer backwards? Spread necks. Hello. Now, that's a cowbell. That's why I gave it a cowbell, Stephen New York. Yeah. It's fan-free spread necks. Mm-hmm. Or just necks for short. We've been using necks for short for a very long time. But we've got all of that sort of stuff to go into. But like I said, we're back to socially distant services here at the Cathedral of Common Sense. I think it's, since the Cathedral of Common Sense, like all churches, is, bullshit and entirely imaginary, we should have imaginary social distancing as well, so that we won't pass the imaginary virus that's imaginary relative to the Cathedral of Common Sense, but not at all imaginary, as to the wider world. Yeah. God. Why? But nonetheless, we will have some prayer meeting Wednesday stuff to go into. I don't know why FYINation.com is running the Stephanie Miller Show, Randy Radar. That's Thomas, so we'll have to sort that out, or I guess Thomas will. Let's see. But nonetheless, you can't keep a good little old blue-haired lady or little old blue-haired man down, or little old blue-haired non-binaries, for that matter. We need to break the gender binary down in the fellowship hall kitchen too. I don't ask because it's not nice to ask, but we'll just say they and them and there. And that being the case, nonetheless, they've been working hard. It's the right time of year for it here in central Appalachia. So the little old blue-haired people in the Fellowship Hall kitchen. I don't even know if fellow's right. They whipped up some homemade peach cobbler, and oh, mercy sakes, and the ice cream freezer was drug out, and there was homemade ice cream, and it was lovely. When I got up to the rectory, and there was peach cobbler there waiting for me alongside some fresh out of the garden succotash, you know, corn and green beans with little new potatoes seasoned up with a little bit of bacon. Oh, just heavenly, just heavenly. And some Jell-O salad, you know, little old blue-haired folks in Fellowship Hall kitchens are very, very good at Jell-O salads. And you know what? They're still good. Yeah. Even though they've fallen out of favor. Nonetheless, delicious. And it was all topped off with, it was all started out with pan-fried pork chops with the grease poured across long leaf lettuce to wilt it and salt and pepper and just heavenly. And they put a bunch of it in to-go boxes, and away the deliveries went. And it was just, delicious, delicious. And that's what makes prayer meeting Wednesday more worthwhile than certainly most of the rest of it. But the deacons don't have any plates to pass, but they're praying hard. They're praying hard that we will get we'll actually finish funding last Friday and get started on this week, because it makes bill paying kind of difficult when we don't, right? Yeah. Steve didn't hear the cowbell. Maybe we were blipping through it. There's a repeat of the cowbell for spread necks. Okay. Silent R. Lamar the Magnificent says, before I go to my corner to sit, since the program went to hell, did you bring a handbasket? Is that a comment on the overall quality of the program, or is that a comment on the all the blipping? And I'm hoping it's about all the blipping, and hopefully it will return from perdition. Subject line: No. Jeremy in Vermont says, Robin, stop telling us how we can't keep fictitious blue-haired little old ladies, and maybe we don't know probably men as well. After all, they're in a fake closed church. That's true. That's true, but they can be fake little old blue-haired ladies and fake little old blue-haired men, and they can be fake little old blue-haired non-binaries, too. Because the world has plenty of room, right? Yeah. So, anyway, as it stands, I'm going to ask the Minister of Music, remote and socially distanced as they are, to come forward and lead us in the offertory prayer, even though it's... you know, all being done remotely. Sibling Minister of Music, if you would, please.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven. thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Yeah. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, Mersey Dotes and Dozy Dotes and Little Lambsy Dobby, a Kiddly Dobby too. Wouldn't you, brethren and sistren, stand by, please. Back in a sec. Had a call. Oh, now where were we? Sorry about that. Sometimes you'd think you'd stop getting calls after business hours, but it doesn't work that way. But it had to be taken. My apologies. My sincere apologies. Let's see. Yeah. Where were we? Even though you're at home. Let's skip over who I am. You know, the naughty nun and the agitated abbess and all of that. Let's get right to the insanity. Let's have a little giggle. Let's have a little giggle before we dive into the fell reaches of the madness, the cesspit of ignorance and stupidity
that swirls around us on a daily basis. Sorry, that kind of screws with my head when I, you know, between the blipping and the call. But I'll be okay. It being prayer meeting Wednesday, of course, you know, we focus on the delightful yahoos of the religion industry. So, Kat Kerr, I mean, I like pink, but I've so far managed to resist dyeing my hair pink. Kat Kerr, however, was unable to resist that temptation, and she showed up on some program of a loony by the name of Steve Schultz, and I guess she's trying to figure out a new angle to interest people in I don't know, evangelical Christianity. This being prayer meeting Wednesday and all, because see, for years now we've known that the sacred religion of the Flying Spaghetti Monster, well, in their afterlife, they have a beer volcano and a stripper factory. I mean, it's a religious fact, which is to say, it's, you know, like all religious facts, it's bilious horseshit. But at least the Flying Spaghetti Monster religion acknowledges it's bilious horseshit. Not so much Kat Kerr. And I can't, the fun that attends all of this is to sit back and try to imagine the people that listen to this and go, yes, absolutely, I know she's right. You know, she's talking direct to God. You might want to get, not for screaming, but just for mind-bending laughter that still might disturb the neighbors. You might want to get the hockey puck for this. Take it away, Kat and Steve.
There is rain in heaven. There is absolutely nothing destructive. There's no earthquakes. No, there are volcanoes, but they're for entertainment. They're for fun. You get to ride the lava out.
Really?
Well, now, really? I don't know. Maybe the Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, etc., of the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster, who is, of course, a pirate with a colander on their head, needs to file gimmick infringement, maybe send a nasty gram to Kat Kerr because she's infringing on the pre-existing beer volcano there in Flying Spaghetti Monster heaven. Yeah, you get to ride the lava because there's nothing destructive in heaven. Does that include, like, Jerry Falwell? He was plenty destructive. Is he in heaven? How about Oral Roberts? Oral Roberts was destructive. How about Billy Graham? Billy Graham was plenty destructive. Anybody?
Really?
Yeah, you get to ride out on the lava. It wouldn't cause us that. It's not a physical volcano he took from the earth and put it up there. It would still be, it's a spiritual world. The land, the air, everything there is spiritual, but it is, it has substance. It's a literal.
Yeah, visualize a volcano with lava you can ride. Yeah. It must be this save to get on the pyroclastic flow.
Volcano, but it wouldn't harm you. And yes, people can go inside and they ride the lava out for a ride.
What a party! Yeah. Oh, Kat Kerr. So, do you think that's, is that the kind of thing that would convince maybe convince people to? I don't know. Maybe convince people to ditch their old religion and pick up that old time religion. It, you know, it was good for Paul and Silas, and they rode the volcano too. Well, I mean, it's a spiritual beer volcano in Flying Spaghetti Monster heaven, but she didn't know. No. There's no beer in that. No. Recall, says Stephen, New York. Kat Kerr was the one that said God gave St. Patrick a mansion with dancing shamrocks that sing surrounding the mansion. It occurs to me, I wonder if she knows Patrick was a Catholic bishop. Well, he probably got de-Catholic, and they let him in on, I don't know, some sort of ex post facto dispensation. Yeah. Isn't this just lovely? But we all know that when it comes right down to it, nobody beats Jim Baker for a good grift. No. You know, we've been talking about having a big party here. Well, I don't know. Maybe people would rather have a blankie. Because Jim Baker's hustling a $1,000 blankie.
I'm just going to reiterate that I want you, when you order this $1,000, to do it in faith, to sow that $1,000
yes.
seed
Amen.
In faith,
That's
believing true. That this is part of your seed into the kingdom of God. You're doing something for the kingdom
yes.
of God. And God is going
touching
to...
Touching the world.
Just,
yes. They're touching the world.
Literally.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're sending out to the what do you call the blanket again?
Miracles happen.
Miracles happen blanket.
Just a big
that blanket
right
yeah, it's a, it, never mind the sweaty miracle hankies of days gone by. By God, this is a miracle blanket. And it's got fringe, and it's blue, and it's got a little white border. And it says, miracles happen. And it's all yours for $1,000. And you get a CD and a DVD, too. And you get two books. You know, I think you could... I mean, considering what the books are worth, you could probably, I don't know, do a lot better just going down to your local big box store and getting the extra large package of the four-ply Northern toilet paper. But that's me.
There it is.
That is just sleep under it or do whatever you want to do with it. Hang it on the wall. That'd be a great wall hanging. But... what else
Lay
do they get with
finance.
It, Nana?
Lay it over your bills.
Wait a minute. There's a photo of, I don't know, whoever Jim Baker's main squeeze is now. There's a photo of her with the holding the blanket. He's laying on the bed, grinning like a fox, eating shit out of a wire brush. And, well, you would too. But the thing is, she looks like she's about to throw it over his head and smother him. Or maybe that's just wishful thinking. Dr. Freud, never mind.
Because healing of your finances.
Amen.
Put your wallet in there, your credit cards, all the bills,
yeah.
you know, house, the mortgage. Put it on there. We're having houses paid off this week,
wow.
this last month and this month. And I'm like, hallelujah.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm like, hallelujah. What the hell? Hallelujah. Buck a duck. Hallelujah. God, ain't the prosperity gospel something fine? Oh. we just needed this. We just needed this. That's all. And he went on. He went on about the miracle blanket for a while, y'all. Yeah.
Amen.
And I'm asking everyone who would say, Jim, I am going to stand with you. We're going to beat the devil back.
Amen.
We're going to beat him back into hell where
yes.
he belongs.
Ooh, praise God.
And we're not going to.
Room's looking a little empty. It's kind of echoey there, but you know they put the camera over to a couple of people. I guess you don't even get like goldfish crackers or anything. Jesus, but oh, they're clapping. The applause light went on. I mean, they got this for free. They're in Branson. Nothing's free in Branson but this, and this ain't free either. I know Trey in Kentucky stands. What are these freaks on? I want some. No, you don't. No, you don't. It'll make your brains leak out your ears.
I mean, the massiveness of what God is doing through the
yes.
ministry is so unbelievable that I just know if everyone gives, we're going to make it through this.
Yes,
it's going to grow and grow and grow.
Well, he had to come up with the miracle blanket because he kind of got busted for hustling the miracle silver solution for curing the Rona. I mean...
If you can give the $1,000, do it. If you can give the $100 offering, you can do that. And
yeah. Hey, come on, Jim. What?
Still, you know the special PTL blanket. You can ask for that.
Yeah.
Wait, he's hustling PT. Oh my God! I thought Jerry Falwell took over that. All the branding in it, but no, the PTL blanket. What happened to the miracle blanket?
If you just ask for it, we'll you know, be able to send that to
yeah.
you as well. And the cup, you get the PTL profits.
Yeah. God almighty. Yeah. Right, sure. This is, well, we could do this all day and into next week, but hey, volcanoes, sure. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for the past, is Jim Baker squeezed drunk? Ralphs wants to know. Wouldn't you be if you, it'd be rot gut tequila morning, noon, and night if you, oh, God. Meanwhile, Stephen New York's miracle blanket. Wow, that puts Robert Tilton and his special water and blessed cloth swatches to shame. Hey, look, I mean, Jim Baker, Jim Baker's a pro, y'all. I mean, a pro. Touching the world. Wait a minute, this is cowbell material. Touching the world, Lee in New York. Wasn't that Cuomo's issue? Well played, Lee. Well played. That's quality. But over the last couple of days, we've been trying to talk about this red alert report from the UN panel on climate change. You know, the we don't have any more time to fuck around red alert. Mm-hmm. And apparently, sane, serious people aren't the only people who have read the report. It's been read by the gospel shops, too. Mm-hmm. And the gospel sharps. So enter Pastor Brother Minister Perry Stone on this prayer meeting Wednesday. Yeah. And maybe, you know, I can halfway understand what the appeal of this might be because, you know, with the fires and the floods and the wars and rumors of wars like are babbled about in the madcap maunderings of, say, John of Patmos. There's some scary shit, and if you're of simple mind, you might be convinced to think that, you know, maybe he was onto something. Maybe it's all being accomplished by climate change, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But no. The evangelicals can breathe easy, according to Perry Stone. Yeah, nothing to worry about. Nothing to worry about at all.
In Revelation chapter 20, when Christ comes back to earth and sets up his kingdom, he's going to change everything. And there's going to be 1,000 years of peace. And so the sons of God, and these are the children of God, these are believers who return with Christ to set up the kingdom for 1,000 years. We're going to see a complete change in the earth, and that what we call the travail of creation or the travail of the earth will cease when the Messiah returns. So those who criticize believers now for not being, you know, environmentally concerned or whatever, we know how the book ends. We know where this is going. We know how in the end when Messiah comes back. Look, folks, can I say something to you?
I think it's a little late to be asking that question. I mean, he's been saying something for, 39 seconds now.
And saying in love, it's wonderful to do all that we can to help the planet, but at the same time, if you know what the prophecy says, you know what's coming, and you know that real peace, real joy, and everything that men want will only happen with the return of the Messiah. And you can see that all through the book of Zechariah. You can see it in the writings of Isaiah. And that Messiah, without a doubt, is one man, and it's Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ! Yeah, right. Yeah, you can see it in the writings of people who didn't understand wheelbarrows, in the writings of people who didn't know why it rains, in the writings of people who thought that, you know, eclipses were caused by, like, devils or something. Oh, God. So, you know, there's an excuse to just go on, go ahead, keep polluting, don't worry about it, you're good. So, Stephen New York says, oh, magic blanket, all I have to do is get some common item, put the word miracle in front of it, and the money will roll in. A glass, a gumball, jar of peanut butter, jar of instant coffee. Why limit yourself, Steve? I mean, condoms? Jim Baker's miracle condoms. Yeah, they're probably made of, like, you know, mesh. What else could we put in that? They're already kind of doing it. How about miracle horse paste? Miracle sheep dip? Oh, God. Yeah. Lee in New York, 1,000 years of peace. So climate change brings peace, as in rest in peace? Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, when the big fire or the big flood comes along and takes the believers away, well, you know, I mean, there's going to be that great getting up morning, but I have a feeling they're going to hate getting to it. Jesus, these people. On and on and on. Yeah, I know. I know. But it's prayer meeting Wednesday, and we deal with that sort of thing here. Yeah. Mercy. And the latest dispatch, because we got to do this. The latest dispatch from Greg Locke of that Gospel Hustle down in Tennessee. You know, he said he'd throw out anybody who showed up at his church with a mask on, right? And now he's convinced that they're coming for him. Greg Locke. And remember, the governor of Tennessee is a Republican by the name of Bill Lee. But in Tennistan, where they're still fucking up left and right as far as the vaccine and the pandemic are concerned, he's all worked up because allegedly Republican Governor Bill Lee put his autograph on a Tennessee executive order, and it's just an effort to make it possible for health officials to better track outbreaks. Basically, some regulations, there was a little bit of let up on them. It wasn't complicated. There are shortages across the state of Tennessee. Shortages of healthcare professionals, doctors, nurses. Yeah. And prior regulations in the state of Tennessee made it kind of difficult if you'd already retired and hadn't been keeping up with your continuing education and things like that that required of practicing medical professionals. You got to stay up on your profession. There was a lot of hoop jumping if you wanted to come back in, but they desperately need doctors, nurses, etc. In Tennessee because their staff is stretched to the breaking point. And enter Executive Order 83. It suspends previous legislation and lets people who are healthcare providers out of state come in and practice in Tennistan. Why anybody would want to do that, I don't know. But it lets Dr. Lisa Piercy, who heads the Health Commission in Tennistan, to let licensed healthcare professionals from other states practice in Tennistan as long as it's related to the COVID-19 response. And retired medical professionals can re-enter the workforce, why they'd want to, God knows. Dr. Piercy can give them a license or a certificate or a registration, whatever it is they need, and it'll recertify them for treatment. And it touches on things like, I mean, this is a real news story. This actually happened. The story I'm looking at is out of Johnson City, Tennessee. Nursing graduates, practical nursing graduates can practice without the exam while they're under supervision. It's nothing dramatic except for the fact that the need for healthcare professionals in places like Tennessee that deliberately let the disease run wild is now desperate. Oh, Florida, by the way, is now begging for more ventilators. How about that? I thought Governor Monkey Up had everything under control, but no. So this is just it's just kind of common sense. I know, shocking, Tennessee. Tennessee also, by the way, has a couple of children on ventilators at one hospital. Niswonger Children's Hospital, 22% of positive COVID-19 cases in one region of Tennessee are under the age of 18, 22%, you know, over a fifth. But the hooting and barking and screaming and shrieking for no masks continues. So, but we've kind of gone over what Executive Order 83 is, but Executive Order 83 is something entirely different if you happen to walk into the Tabernacle and Herpetological Sanctuary that is Greg Locke's church there in, what, Mount Juliet? Yeah. Entirely different.
Do you see this nonsense our governor signed? People are like, well, you know, there's really not a nefarious plan. Y'all just tinfoil hat wearers. You need to adjust the rabbit ears on your TV because y'all just crazy. Really? Why don't you read for yourself what our governor, which, by the way, will not get reelected, because I'm telling you, he is a coward. I don't care how much he talks about Jesus. Bill Lee's a coward. You can tell him I said so. He's a noodle. He's a waffler. Willie.
Waffle noodles? Noodle waffles? It's fun to sit here and make sport of these jackasses, but these are the people who are killing other people. But here's the question. Why is he talking about who's going to get elected and not elected from a pulpit? Well, I guess 501 said, I guess the IRS doesn't have jurisdiction in Tennistan. Because just like the offertory hymn says, it's all tax-free. Hallelujah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nearly nonsense. Opening up Tennessee to this bunch of craziness going on. I ain't voting for him again. I'm ashamed I voted for him the first time.
Well, you know, the fact of the matter is, Tennistan got opened up to the damn virus is what it got opened up to. And Greg Locke, of course, is all for it. But he's sitting there talking about who he's going to vote for, not vote for. And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Trump ain't going to endorse him either. I can promise you that right now. But nonetheless, I'm about to get fired up. Did you see the executive...
About to get fired up.
...executive order he just signed for COVID-19? It's like 22 paragraphs long. You know the two things that bother me the most? Call me whatever you will. This is the facts. The facts, Jax. The facts.
Not a fact involved here whatsoever. None. And people have already died because of what he said. And more people will.
Two things. Well, three things. One of which is anybody that has a medical license can now practice in Tennessee from out of state, which is unconstitutional, super, super dangerous, and that is very...
It's not unconstitutional. The Constitution says nothing about the licensure of healthcare professionals or lawyers or architects or any other certified public accountants. That nothing, absolutely nothing. That's entirely a matter for the states.
Very unlawful, for a lot of reasons. But they're talking about all these hospitals are overflowing with people. Why don't you carry a camera in one of these hospitals that are supposed to be overflowing with COVID patients and show me how empty they are? These chicks are in there doing TikTok dances.
Chicks.
But here's the two things that bother me most. Somebody send it a bill. It'll be all right. Let me tell you something. Number one, he has authorized...
We got the hockey puck out for a good giggle with Kat Kerr and her volcanoes, her lava slide. Keep the hockey puck for the paranoia. I mean, really, get the groovy white dinner jacket with the straps with the sleeves that tie in the front, and just kind of carry Greg Locke away. But yeah,
the power of the National Guard to get involved in issues of COVID-19. Oh, I know you didn't bargain for this when you came to church, but that's all good. You're here now, so we might as well chit-chat for a minute. If you fall asleep, miss some of it, it'll be on Right Wing Watch and Newsweek tonight by 6 o'clock, maybe by 3 o'clock, I guarantee you. But here's what's interesting about that. We look and we're like, well, yo, the National Guard should get involved. You know what bothers me more about the National Guard getting involved? Why don't you look at Section 8 of what he signed?
Section 8? Wasn't that what Klinger used?
They have authorized FEMA. Y'all hearing me? fan all you want. It's about to get hot. They've authorized the Tennessee Department.
Not to put too fine a point on it, but it's already plenty hot in Tennessee because that state is burning up with the Rona, thanks to people like Greg Locke, you know, bioterrorist.
Of FEMA to build what they call in his own authorized pages of a signature.
Hold on. Authorized pages of a signature. Cocktail hour before the sermon starts has got to be something else there.
Quarantine camps. I ain't talking about East Germany. I'm talking about Tennessee.
East Germany? Pardon? I don't think that exists anymore. You know what this is all about, of course. The National Guard is authorized to build isolation facilities so that they can be constructed quickly in order to try to stop the spread of a particularly pernicious outbreak that completely overwhelms the hospital system, which is where Tennistan is headed if they're not already there. Yeah. And so there's all kinds of regulations that go with building a hospital in any state. Here, wherever you are, you got to jump through a lot of flaming barbed wire hoops to construct hospital facilities, because you don't just want people opening up, I don't know, libertarian hospitals and calling them hospitals when they're basically, you know, repurposed chicken coops. Because if you let a libertarian do that, a libertarian would do that. Or a Republican. So there are some minimal standards, even in Stan states, about building healthcare facilities. And this just bypasses some of that so that they can put up pop-up COVID centers for treating overflow patients instead of, you know, getting all Ron Paul on them and, well, just let them die in the halls. Remember, what was it? Just 2012, wasn't it, during the Republican primary pageant season when there was a pageant going on in some state or another, and Ron Paul said, well, what should we do? Just let them die in the halls? And all the Republicans, yeah, praise Jesus, let them die in the halls, hallelujah, glory, ho! Yeah.
Quarantine camps for the uninformed people that are still in refusal to be vaccinated. Look.
You know this motherfucker's been vaccinated. They all have. I don't care if it's Marjorie Trader, Gangrene Q-Ball, Greg Locke, Cucky Tucky, Carlson, the lot of them. They've all been vaccinated. Because of course they have. And that's why he's comfortable standing there with no mask on in front of a room full of people barking and grunting and hooting and spewing at him. Remember, the snake oil salesman never tries his own snake oil. No.
If that don't bother you, you might as well show up at another church next week, because I'm going to keep raising Cain about all this nonsense. I don't care what Bill Lee says. I don't care what fraudulent fake Joe Biden says. I don't care what Planned Parenthood says. I don't care what Chris Cuomo says. I don't care what Gavin Newsom says. I don't care what Nancy Pelosi and her insurrectionist nonsense has to say. You better wake up, church. You better wake up. They hate us.
No, you're more to be pitied than despised. But he's got an entire circus tent full. And they're standing there. I mean, they're butthole to belly button, and they're LARPing and smolicking and grabulating and hooting all over each other. Who knows? And, you know, remember, ain't nobody allowed to wear a mask there. So the number will be reduced by a few people next time they get together. Sure it will. And some of them will be horizontally crucified with garden hoses down their throat, hearing everything that's going on around them, the beeping and the beeping and the beep, beep, beep. And the machine that periodically squeezes their arm and goes, and takes their blood pressure. Mm-hmm. People that they can't see coming by, and all of a sudden, and getting their fingers stuck and blood, right? Yeah. That'll be their lot. Sure.
We are speed bumps to the deep state on the road to their progressive communism.
Well, thank God it's not conservative communism. That might be a problem, right?
And I'll shout it from the rooftop if I'm the last one.
Jump, motherfucker.
I live by what I say, and I will die by what I say if I have to.
But not of the Rona, because you're fucking vaccinated. God, the rubes.
I'll fight this garbage until my dying breath.
Your offer is acceptable. Jesus God. He is the virus. Absolutely. Oh, well. I did promise that I wanted to go into a quick something or something. By the way, Trey in Kentucky Stan's been keeping us updated on the positivity rate there in Kentucky Stan. Kentucky Stan presently has a COVID positivity rate of 11.22%. It keeps going up. It was 11% yesterday. 2 days ago. 2 days ago, it was 10.78%. Well, I bet that looks like a hockey stick on a graph, huh? Well, that's damned observant of you, Trey. Libertarianism is the Trojan horse to feudalism, and it is. That's absolutely right. Oh, and back that Section 8 that Greg Locke was babbling on about. Steve actually went and found it real quick. Like, you'll notice Section 8 does not even mention FEMA. No, of course not. This is just recycling. You know, it's a pity that they don't get on board with actual recycling, because they recycle their right wing talking point horseshit at a professional level. You might recall that it was FEMA re-education camps that the Kenyan Muslim usurper was going to force us all into back during the Kenyan Muslim usurpation, right? Sure. Stephen New York, paraphrasing Pastor John Hagee. Remember, the guy said, "Starve!" While he was trundling around the stage and could... Right. My advice to Texas and Florida, et cetera, to paraphrase John Hagee, Stephen New York says, is choke! Silent R. Lamar the Magnificent says, waiting on the bus to hell. Okay, I have a suggestion for the people who are waiting for Jesus to return. Try fixing today's problems. Due to Jesus' return date, it's the year 6565 of our Lord. It's going to be a little while. It's going to be a little bit. Yep. But no, this is too funny not to mention. Like I said, sometimes we need a giggle. Out in Utah, you know, they're very pious. You know how we know they're pious out in Utah? Because people in Utah and Alabama download more porn per capita than any other states in the union. Well, one particularly pious Utah has demanded that the governor of Utah change his, quote, obscene name. The governor of Utah received a piece of correspondence from a very concerned citizen. I do not know if you know this, but when people say your surname, it sounds like the word cock. Here's the giveaway. The governor of Utah's name is Steve Cox, C-O-X. It's obscene! Us decent people here in Utah will not stand for it. Because of your reluctance to change your foul, dirty, and obscene surname, myself and thousands of other Utahns, I didn't even know that was a word. U-T-A-H-N-S. Utahns will be sitting in protest, not standing, until you change your heinous surname to something less offensive.
This is a social justice issue, and we will not be denied basic human decency. If our simple request is not met, we will assemble and do what democracy was made to do by recalling you from office because of your filthy surname. This is not a communist dictatorship. This is the great state of Utah. We do not accept sick jokes to run rampant in our civil institutions. We demand a response to this letter, and we expect to hear back from your office soon. Love, a very concerned citizen. I saw this. I'm just trying to figure out if this is just somebody punking him, because he is, after all, a good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Book of Mormon-believing, Christ and or Moroni-centered evangelical fundamentalist homosexual Christian Mormon. I don't know. All right, is this a joke, or are people out there that weird and hung up? I'm kind of leaning toward weird and hung up. Don't know about you. And Spencer Cox tweeted, really grateful for the criticism and constructive feedback I get from constituents that demand I ... checks notes. Change my name? Yeah. It's got to be a joke, doesn't it? I mean, please, sweet baby Jesus, it's got to be a joke. Nonetheless. But no, and on a much more serious note, and God only knows why they published it, Newsweek published an op-ed from someone by the name of Suri Kinsbrunner. Headline, no, the unvaccinated aren't selfish or ignorant. Here's why I'm not vaxxed. Opinion. I read this after the program last night and just about chewed through the straps. Pert near, come near, running, eating dirt and running rabbits and kicking furniture. I'm not vaccinated against COVID-19. The decision wasn't a drastic one. I thought of it as a personal decision that every person should make in consultation with a trusted health professional, which is what I did. It didn't occur to me that this decision merited justification to others, but that was before the current climate of social and political pressure, before the Delta surge, and before unvaccinated people like me started getting blamed for vaccine-resistant variants. Now I feel that explaining my decision has become necessary. That sounds kind of like, but, you know, God, it becomes necessary to explain our grievances. That's Declaration of Independence kind of stuff, but I don't think that's what this is. She wants to explain why other people may choose not to vaccinate. Mm-hmm. And she wants everybody to know that she's not one of these people who goes around barking and grunting and hooting. I agree that the COVID-19 vaccine is an important tool in reducing the severity of cases, hospitalizations, and deaths due to COVID-19. In general, I'm supportive of the availability and accessibility of safe, potentially life-saving medications and preventative measures for anyone at risk of any serious illness. The more options when it comes to preventing and treating COVID-19, the better. Okay, but this does not mean that all options should necessarily be utilized by all people en masse, and this is how I arrived at my current decision to opt out of the vaccine. And by this time, I'm scrolling all the way to the bottom of the screen. Who the fuck is this? Oh, Suri Kinsbrunner previously worked as a teacher and preschool director and is currently homeschooling her 7 children. Ta-da! Oh, she studied cognitive neuroscience as an undergraduate at George Washington University in Washington, D.C. Curiously, it says she studied. It doesn't say she's degreed in it. Oh, she worked briefly in this field, becoming a parent. She's especially passionate about issues related to parenting and education. No, she didn't. You know, consulting with a healthcare provider. No, she didn't, Stephen New York says. No actual doctor, and no, Dr. Incubus Sperm is not an actual doctor, would ever say this to her. Mm-mm. No doctor of any repute. And so she's trying to, I don't know. She's homeschooling her children, I guess, because they probably need other vaccines too, and that would make her an anti-vaxxer. Yeah. The bottom line for me, and perhaps others who are similarly ambivalent about the COVID-19 vaccine, is that trustworthy information and guidance is key.
And those of us opting out of the vaccine are not doing so out of ignorance or selfishness. We've simply been paying attention to the mixed messages, the hypocrisy, the changing standards, and the censoring of counter-evidence. There's no counter-evidence. I mean, unless you count things like the crap that gets peddled and then taken off of social media as counter-evidence. No, people are not dropping dead left and right from taking the vaccine. People are dropping dead left and right from not taking the vaccine. I didn't arrive at my decision on my own. I'm lucky to have a relationship with a health professional who I feel comfortable asking questions without fear of judgment. Chiropractor. I trust her guidance, having built a history with her and knowing that she has my best interest in mind. I mean, it doesn't say my chiropractor here, but I'm pretty sure. Right. I mean, maybe this is whoever, like, gives her Botox or whatever. In fact, had she unequivocally recommended the vaccine specifically for me to the best of her clinical judgment, I would have gotten vaccinated that day. Unequivocal recommendation, however, was not the message I received in my case as a young, otherwise healthy individual who was also pregnant. Well, okay. Maybe that's why. Maybe she was said, you know, maybe wait till after you deliver the baby. Although, I'm not even particularly familiar with people saying, nah, I don't get it. You're pregnant. Can you imagine getting the coronavirus and being pregnant at the same time? Because we have trusted healthcare professionals who have told us, now, in what, no way, shape, form, or fashion is this here vaccine going to make you grow antlers or your unborn baby, which is far more important than you are. And she claims that the adverse effects have been censored. Why censor the adverse effects? Why not publicize them so we can make informed decisions? And she cites the inconsistent policies. Well, in the middle of a pandemic, policies are going to be inconsistent. Because inconsistency is another way of saying that policies are going to change based upon the progress and process of the pandemic and the disease itself. That's why recommendations have changed. As Stephen New York points out, witch doctors aren't health professionals. Hey, let's not slur the witches, but... And one of my ancestors is a witch doctor. Easy. We still use one of his spells, as a matter of fact. When you've got a stitch in your side, you find a likely-looking rock, you bend all the way down, you pick up the rock, you stand all the way up, you spit on the bottom of the rock, and you bend all the way back down, and you put the rock back, and the stitch in your side goes away, and it's magic. Not really. Yeah. Hey, thank you. Thank you, Libby. Libby jumped in on fundraising this evening. Thank you so much. We are getting oh so close to being done with fundraising for the evening. Or not for the evening. For last Friday evening. We're very close now. I think we are at $20 away. $20 away, thanks to Libby. $20 away from being done with Friday's last week's funding. And then we can start on this week, which we are completely behind on. Stephen New York pointing out, it is not a virtue to never change one's mind. No, that's called being hidebound. Looking for a friend, LFAF. Darlene in Connecticut writes, what's happening in Florida is both tragic and an outrage. Is there any way to bring DeClantis up on murder charges? I know. But again, LFAF here, looking for a friend. I sincerely wish that there was. Hope is a dangerous thing, but consider the pending charges in Michigan relating to the Flint water crisis. People were eventually charged for poisoning people there. You know, the law is slow to change. But it's conceivable that it might. But it's in a constant state of catch-up against people like Suri Kinsbrunner. And in many instances, helpless against it. We once lived in a country where people didn't go apeshit over vaccines. Now we live in a country where people go apeshit over vaccines. Can you imagine what a little toxic viral stew Suri Kinsbrunner's home is with her 7 homeschooled children that she doesn't keep in the home but instead takes out into the wider world, probably unvaccinated, and allows them to just wander about, spreading their diseases, possibly getting them? This is the sad, sad world in which we live. And I tried to sweeten things up with a couple of giggles before we got started, but that's a fact. And Paul from Parts Unknown, when you get around to it... wait a minute. Ron in Raleigh says, wait a minute. Didn't this broodmare say she was homeschooling her 7 kids? Now she's pregnant with number 8? I guess she doesn't believe in birth control either. This country is so screwed. We're all screwed, Robin. Remember when Groucho Marx asked the woman on You Bet Your Life how many kids she had, and she said she had, 8, 10, 12? He said, my God, why? And she said, well, I like kids. And he said, I like my cigar, but I take it out of my mouth once in a while. Yeah, that. I didn't know if the 7 counted the one, but because that's the thing. Why are you still unvaccinated if you're not pregnant anymore? Billable Rick says, the backstory on Pastor Greg Locke. I came across this article about Greg Locke. Not only is he a violent, insane bioterrorist, but he's also a complete POS. He participated in the Destroy Social Justice Conference, headlined by the disgraced, self-appointed, adulterous, unqualified Tennessee pastor Greg Locke, founder of his own church. He ditched his wife of 20 years and married his secretary. Nice. Yeah, I knew he was a creeper. Thanks, Billable. No, but I have a question for Paul from Parts Unknown when he gets around to the program. Darlene in Connecticut, as well as Agnes, sent me a story, which I then went ahead and read and was horrified by. I mean, this is scary stuff. It comes from Axios, and it's, as usual, freighted with some bad journalism. And what I mean by that is they put all the scary shit at the top, and then you get down into the article, and then you start finding out that, oh, look, just like everything else in life, there's some freaking nuance. I suspect you may have seen this story by now, too. It gave me the horrors. New data. Now, please, don't just hear this headline and then, you know, run away and abandon hope, all ye who enter here. New data suggests Pfizer and Moderna's vaccines may be less effective against Delta. I thought we already knew that. But maybe I dreamed it or something. But a study is out. Axios got hold of it. It has not been cleared for publication yet. But in a breathless introductory sentence, they say, a new preprint study that raises concerns about the mRNA vaccine's effectiveness against Delta, particularly Pfizer's, has already grabbed the attention of top Biden administration officials. What they're saying... The study found the Pfizer vaccine was only 42% effective against infection in July when the Delta variant was dominant, If that's not a wake-up call, I don't know what is, a senior Biden official told Axios. So it's only 42% effective against stopping infection at all. And then they start giving you the whys and the wherefores. The study was conducted by the Mayo Clinic, and it compared Pfizer and Moderna in the Mayo Clinic health system from January to July. Over the study period, Moderna was 86% effective against infection. Pfizer's, wait a minute, it just said at the top, only 42% effective against infection in July when the Delta variant was dominant. But over the entire period, Pfizer was 76%, Moderna was 92% against hospitalization. I'm sorry. Moderna was 86% against infection, 76% for Pfizer. Then, as to hospitalization, Moderna was 92% and Pfizer was 85% against hospitalization. Then came the Delta variant, which we have unvaccinated people in this country to thank for letting it run wild. The vaccine's effectiveness, now it's all, you know, the devil is in the details and in how they write this crap. The vaccines, both Moderna and Pfizer, dropped in July when the Delta variant's prevalence in Minnesota rose to over 70%. And that's where we get the stuff that they, the sentence that they use to terrify people at the beginning of the article. And how many people are going, and this is sociological, how many people are going to read this article and stop at 42% against stopping infection and go, Jesus, it don't work! Ain't no sense in getting it. But here it is in the middle of the article. Moderna was 76% effective against infection from Delta, and Pfizer was only 42% effective. The study found similar results in other states. In Florida, the risk in July for people fully vaccinated with Moderna was about 60% lower than for people fully vaccinated with Pfizer. What? Well, that sounds like the exact opposite of what was going on in, or not the exact opposite, but close enough for what was going on in Minnesota. In Florida, the risk of infection in July for people fully vaccinated with Moderna was about 60% lower than for people fully vaccinated with Pfizer. And then they go through the why it matters. And all the way down, a whole host of paragraphs later, you get, yes, but there has been no data so far that has found either vaccine's protection against severe disease and death is significantly less against Delta. In other words, if you've got Moderna or Pfizer in your system, there is no data that has found either vaccine's protection against severe disease and death is significantly less against Delta. In other words, it's as effective at keeping you out of the hospital, off the vent, with the garden hose not down your throat, not horizontally crucified, as it was against the other variants. And in something that should have been printed at the top of this godforsaken piece of journalistic rubbish, finally, way down toward the bottom, you get, experts cautioned against rushing to conclusions. When fully, the first half of the article is a rush to a conclusion. Editing is dead. Or maybe, if not dead, editing only matters relative to getting eyeballs on screens and clicks and taps. Right. And then they go into the difference in manufacturing processes between Moderna and Pfizer. You get a stronger dose of Moderna than you do with Pfizer. There's a different time interval between the two shots. And in a statement, Pfizer said, and this they put at the very bottom, Pfizer said it and BioNTech expect to be able to develop and produce a tailor-made vaccine against that variant in approximately 100 days after a decision to do so, subject to any regulatory approval. And when Darlene sent it to me, and I'm really glad she did, she said, I don't like the headline. I'm just passing this on to keep us informed. I don't like the headline either. And the headline was designed not to be liked and designed to scare the living bejesus out of people who are already vaccinated. You know what would have been handy in the article there, but maybe they just didn't have the pixels for it or the packets or whatever, or the bytes or the bits or whatnot. At the very beginning, note, washing your hands, not touching your face, maintaining social distance, and wearing your mask are still your frontline defenses against catching this disease. You know, the very thing that Paul from Parts Unknown has shared with us, but which the highfalutin Axios media couldn't be bothered to say. And frankly, it's shameful. Downright shameful. Hey, thank you very kindly. Thank you very kindly to Ralphs. We're done with Friday. We're done with Friday. We're finally fully funded for last week, so we can get started on this one. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you so much. And so, we're somewhere around $1,000. Now. We are. Thank you. Because, see, I'm trying to make up for the days I'll be gone. And there's six of them. Potentially. Well, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That's four. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Seven. No, eight. There's 8 days gone out of the month. And so, yeah, if we call it $1,000 now, that's where we are. No blankies. You know, read this stuff with a real critical eye. That 42% number does not make me feel good. It doesn't make me feel confident or comfortable, especially not having to travel as I am. But I do know that I can significantly protect myself by using a quality mask and engaging in the other frontline defenses. And I don't know, I may chicken out yet. I don't know. But as far as numbers are concerned, Steve shared the New York infection rates. You know, I told you what Kentucky's is, and Kentucky stands as mild compared to idiot states like Alabama and Florida. But even in New York, on July 11th, the rate was just over 1%. It's now 3.54%. That's a threefold increase in less than a month. And that's in a state with much more vaccination. And still, the rates remain, it remains a consistency that the vast number of deaths and hospitalizations and infections are among the unvaccinated, who are, of course, also spreading. Yes, it's absolutely true that you can spread it if you're vaccinated and you are asymptomatically infected. We've known that asymptomatic spread was a thing from early on, and we've been talking about it here. You know, the fact of the matter is I feel pretty good about what we've talked about over the course of the last year plus, because we've all worked really, really hard to try to make sure that we were sharing accurate information. And over the last year plus, accurate information is the last thing that has been spread on places like Facebook and Twitter and other social media platforms. And churches. Always churches. Jeremy in Vermont updating us. We have only 9,000 more deaths till we eclipse the total killed in the Civil War in a little over a year and a half, when it's an infection just as what most likely killed most Civil War fighters were infections. That's a terrifying thought. Total cases, 36.2 million plus 162,000. Deaths, 619,000 plus 1,049. God. It's breathtaking. So, and by the way, this is one of those, you know, now that I'm involved in a couple of things, I have roughly two nights a month when I have to be involved in a remote meeting. This is one of them. Tomorrow is another. So I have to knock off now because I've got to get ready for a Zoom meeting. But we will be back with fully 2 hours of the program tomorrow night. Hopefully some conversation. And then Friday on the front porch, we'll do what we can do. Thank you, everyone, for all you do to keep this program on the air. You are why this program exists. Thank you to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you all so very much. Thanks to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in this long-running little conversation. Thank you. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. And that means, well, thanks to me this evening in the chat room. I know Steve was probably tied up and being worked half to death this evening. Be good to yourself, my brother. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, brand new fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. And the best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is, of course, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice. This would be a good time for you to reach out to your member of the House of Representatives and ask them pretty please to sign on to H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency AIC Act. It means the world to Appalachia. And God, when there are Susie Kinsbrunners and Greg Locks out there and all manner of mask holes and COVIDiots and, yes, spread necks, please make sure you get your vaccine. If you've already gotten it, take all the precautions you can. My God, try to get the unvaccinated amongst you vaccinated. So sad to see someone who resisted it have their last words be, "I wish I had. I wish I'd gotten the vaccine." There's so many stories about that already. In the meantime, use all those first-line defenses. Wash your hands, don't touch your face. Use hand sanitizer liberally, carry it with you everywhere you go, pocket or purse, or European messenger bag, backpack. I don't care, just make sure you've got some with you. Wear gloves if you're in particularly risky areas, and even sanitize those before you take them off. Do everything. Maintain your social distance 15 to 20 feet. Now, it's hard to do, but you got to try. Right. Wear your mask. Get a good mask. Get the best mask you can have. And of course, if somebody comes towards you and says, "You know, I'm homeschooling 7 kids and I'm not vaccinated," avoid that person like the plague. Because she is. Later.